Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Mouse. This is where we affirm and celebrate the power of dreaming, the power of coincidence, meaningful coincidence, and of imagination to fuel and enliven our lives. We have a wonderful guest today. She's been with me several times, and indeed we've been dreaming together for 30 years or so. Her name is Jane Carlton. She is a gemologist, a very good one, so if you want evaluation done, here's where to go, but she's also a valuer of dreams. She is a wonderful dream teacher, dream coach, dream guide, and we'll ask to have her contact information in case you're looking for some one-to-one counseling, which I don't do, but which Jane does admirably. Janie, we have been dreaming together in workshops, and you've indeed been hosting and facilitating workshops for me for a very long time. What is it, like 30 years starting in Esalen?
Yes, maybe more like 25, but yes, indeed.
Okay, I'm known to improve stories slightly. not to misrepresent, but, you know, I'm so enthusiastic I might have added a few years. I guess we don't really need to add years to our acquaintance at this point in life, but the point is it's been a remarkable dream friendship, and I've watched you grow in the way that you may have to use your own dreams and your imagination in your life, and the way that you constantly inspire and coach others to do more with the imagination. And I understand you've got a new story for us you'd like to share in this episode. So let's have that.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you. And, you know, as far as time goes, it's like we've known each other forever. So who's counting?
Right.
Well, this is a story about kindness, a visitation dream, how life rhymes, as you so beautifully teach, and of giving someone a dream who needs a dream. And so I had a dream. This is shortly after my mother passed, a few years ago. And in the dream, my mother is in a conference room, and she's talking to a group of people, and I'm alerted that it's a space on the other side, and this is a visitation dream. Because also another friend of mine who was on the other side was present in the dream. And it's a simple, sweet little dream. She's with a group of people, and I'm standing off to the side, and she's looking over at me, and everybody's looking at me, and she says, "Jane knows what to do. She'll take care of everything." And, you know, I wake up from this dream, and it feels effervescent and beautiful and, you know, thank you for coming to see me, Mom. And that day I go to work, and I've had a very long work day, probably one of my 10-hour days. And I had several phone calls that I needed to return of inquiries for my services as an appraiser. And it's 7:30 at night, and I'm tired. I want to go home, and I'm hungry for dinner. But there was one phone call I decided, and I never call people at 7:30 at night, but I decided to call this one woman and return her call. And it turns out that this is a woman who's in the final weeks of her life. She is dying of the same cancer that my mom had. And she needed an appraisal for her jewelry to understand what it was worth, her various items, so that she could distribute them to her family members. And we started talking, and the next thing I know, we're on the phone for an hour, and I'm talking to her about, doing dream work on the spot with her, helping her find a portal where she could find a helper, you know, and where this helper could be her guide and her helper for her final weeks. And when we did that on the spot over the phone, she found herself in a beautiful place in nature. She found a friend who's on the other side shows up as her helper, ally. And so in the weeks that followed, several times we had phone calls, and each time I helped her return to that portal where she could meet with her friend and where she could feel that this would be where she's going when she leaves this world. And it was a beautiful, wonderful experience with her for me to be able to gift her my time. And you know, I wasn't with her when she passed, but I'm sure she went to her place and that her friend was there waiting for her.
It's a beautiful story, Jane, and it is so relevant to so many of us who want to know how to help people who are approaching death, how to deal with our relations with loved ones who are on the other side. And I might be open to the possibility that, as in this story, we can carry a dream, carry a picture, carry even a road map or an introduction to somebody who doesn't have a dream, an introduction, or a road map. And in relation to death, this is very important because we don't really have a Western art of the dying. I mean, people might go Tibetan Buddhist or something else, or shamanic according to some lineage. But as a culture, though we still have religions, they don't teach people a great deal in practical terms about how to prepare the soul, by which here I mean the imagination, the mind, for the physical passage beyond the body to the supraphysical. And here's a case where that happens, and it starts, as I hear you, with your mother, with my mom, if it's my dream, encouraging me to play an active role in reassuring me that I know what to do. So that gives me the confidence and even the kind of charisma to do what then next happens. As I understand it, Jane, your acquaintance who was on her way to the big journey met a friend of her own on the other side, not your mother, is that right?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. But in a way, the story is even more interesting and enlightening. I mean, had you put her in touch with your mother, I mean, that would be beautiful and delightful. But in a way, it's more empowering and opens up larger possibilities to think, well, okay, we can help people to find their own connection. Not necessarily about doing it all for them, giving them our address list. We can help them, put them on the way to finding their own direction. So it's a visitation, but as I use that word, I tend to reserve it for occasions where the dead come calling on us. You know, mom turns up in my living room. I'd simply call it a visit because I seem to have gone to the environment where she now is. So I'm in a sense the one who's making the visitation. I'm visiting the so-called dead or alive somewhere else. And that's very interesting, too, because there's, to put it mildly, a two-way traffic, isn't there? I mean, our departed might come calling on us, but we can also go calling on them, and sometimes we're called to do that. I've even seen situations where it's like the dead were holding a seance to bring one of the living into their circle, the way that, you know, people used to, and in some cases still do, hold seances on this side. This area is so important, and as you and I know, dreaming and dream work give us such excellent preparation for conditions on the other side. Seth said through Jane Roberts, and he said some very good things about dreaming and the afterlife. He said, pay attention to the locations in your dreams, because if you look at this closely, you may discover that you're already visiting places you will go after death, or where people you know who have died are living now. And I think that's true. We sometimes don't recognize what's going on because we don't get such a clear indication as you receive when you recognize someone who has died in addition to your mother. So that's beautiful. And, of course, you'll carry the confidence and the enhanced practice you now have to other people, won't you?
Absolutely. And part of the gift of the dream, the visit dream, and definitely I was visiting where she was, and I was on the periphery, so it wasn't really my space to, you know, be in other than as a witness, actually, in this dream. But it also gave me the time that I spent with this lovely woman who was, you know, in her final weeks, the time that I spent talking with her, having that dream from my mother was incredibly healing for me. It gave me a shift from this mourning place I was in to a place of power, to a place of knowing, and to caring for someone else instead of wallowing in my own sadness, quite frankly.
Yes, that's so important and so movingly and vividly expressed. All right, I'm going to give you some fresh material. I'm going to tell you a dream from last night. It makes a short report, but what's going on around it might take some time, so we might end up having to do it in two parts, soon before and after the break. Is that okay for you?
That sounds great.
All right, so the original report is this. I'm not sure whether someone tells me or I read it, but I pick up somehow in this world of many media that a previously unknown document relating to the poet William Butler Yeats, who I've loved all my life, has surfaced. It's been found in Texas, and somebody is talking about it and quoting from it, and there's some excitement. It seems like it's a handwritten document, letter, manuscript. I'm not sure. I've got part of the story, but not all of it. It's said to have some magical properties, as if simply handling this document will produce a bit of magic, which would not be strange in the ambit of William Butler Yeats. And the document ends with a single word, which might be the start of a sentence that was not written, and the word is despite, despite. That's the last word. And in the dream, I'm very excited by this news. I'm surprised that this is going on in Texas. I wasn't aware in the dream that Yeats had been to Texas. I'll follow up on that in a moment. And I'm somewhat surprised at myself in the dream that I don't just drop everything and go after this. Because, you know, I'm writing about Yeats in regular life right now, writing something new about Yeats. And I'm fascinated by Yeats. And I'm somewhat surprised myself in the dream. I don't drop everything, get in touch with people in Texas, try and track down the hotel. The announcement was made in a hotel, and I can see a man in a suit who is a bit full of himself making the announcement at a hotel. So that's the original dream, and I think we could probably skip our regular step-by-step process because I was driven immediately on waking to drop everything and follow the dream. So that's what I did. So I go online, and I discover, yes, Yeats went to Texas. I don't think I knew this consciously. He went to Texas in 1920. He gave a lecture at Baylor University called Friends in My Youth. And they gave it, you know, they hyped it up. They gave it a big promo. The Carroll Chapel at Baylor University was absolutely full of people. And he got a lot of press coverage. And he stayed at a hotel called the Raleigh Hotel with his wife, George. They'd married 3 years previously. And I have not yet been able to locate a text of the lecture. Maybe that's not the document in my dream anyway, since that's public information. In my dream, it's new information. But he did give all sorts of vignettes, colorful vignettes of people he knew when young, including his father, the artist. And he said of his literary friends, a lot of them were given over to dissipation. They're given over to dissipation and would sometimes be found in this state. And he wanted to make it clear that to be a great writer, you don't have to give yourself to dissipation, though it's bound to have some effect. I don't know if there's a message there. Avoid dissipation, Robert. But anyway, so this is my story so far. And one of the practical aspects of it, which might appeal to other people and which you won't miss, of course, is we have different modes of dealing with our dreams. And my dreams are forever giving me research assignments. And I love to pursue those assignments. And I've been given many assignments by Yeats, directly or indirectly, over a long time. When I was writing the Dreamer's Book of the Dead, Yeats, or what he would call his mask, his persona, his semblance, was with me a great deal. And sometimes in very specific prompts to do research in different places in Ireland and so on. And in fact, yesterday I've been following up one of the old dreams from 20 years ago. So that's my story for now, and I titled the dream, if you want to bring in some elements of our dream-sharing process, I titled the process Say the Word on Yeats's Trail in Texas. And I wrote Say the Word because something I haven't done yet is to imagine what the sentence beginning with despite might be. I mean, that's one mystery about the dream that is still with me. It ends with a single word. What might the poet or what might the dreamer say today that is missing from the document? Where does despite what? Where does despite lead? Despite who? Where does that lead? So that's my report.
Oh, that is fascinating. Let me ask you one question. The lecture that he gave in the 1920s, what was the title of it again? Something in My Youth.
The title was exactly Friends in My Youth. Not Friends of My Youth, but Friends in My Youth. That he wrote a poem later called Friends of My Youth, but it was called Friends in My Youth. And I've seen reports of it in the university newspaper, The Lariat. The Lariat, went out there in Texas, The Lariat. But I've not yet been able to locate the full text of the lecture. I'm going to look for it. It possibly has been published somewhere, but I couldn't find it immediately. And that will no doubt be interesting. And I'm interested in every aspect of Yeats's life and mind. However, in My Dream, as I say, it was a previously unknown document, manuscript, I think, that had surfaced.
Yes. Isn't that fascinating? And, of course, your feelings around the dream are excitement and a wonderful research project, what you're telling me.
Yes, I mean, great excitement, intense curiosity, and again, I'm startled as I wake by the fact that in the dream I don't get on this right away. Well, I did get on it right away since I woke up. As I say, one of the things I'm working on is a new, it's actually a chapter about Yeats the Dreamer beyond what I've written about him before. And I have turned up all sorts of resources. I mean, no unpublished manuscripts, but lots of things that are not generally available to the public. So I've been looking at a lot of material that people haven't looked at with a dreamer's eye on his personal relations and so on. So that theme, Friends in My Youth, is a theme that appeals to me very much in studying the life of this poet and magician.
Yes. Is there anything you would like to know beyond what you've already shared with me? You've got an action plan. You're actively researching. Would you like, if it were my, just a couple of projections, if it were my dream?
Absolutely. Just go off in any direction that appeals to you. As I say, I think I need to play with this word despite and play it, filling in the sentence. I've got lots of questions, but I think you know what they are now, and one of them is, you know, what is this document? Where can I find it? Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, and the only word, the final word in the document is fight.
Despite. Despite.
Just fight.
Despite.
So there's two words.
Despite, not spite. Despite this or that. However, spite is in the word. Whether there's any element of spite, I at the moment have no idea.
And you're talking, and we're spelling, and just to make sure I'm clear on that word, it's fight as in F-I-G-H-T, correct?
It's despite, D-E-S-P-I-T-E, despite all of that.
Fight. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm a little muffled to hear. Just
no, it's interesting.
Fight.
It's interesting,
well,
though. I mean, the fact that you're hearing something different makes me wonder whether I got it right. Not seriously. I think I'm pretty clear on that word.
Okay. Just fight. Oh, wow. Okay. Because I know where I was going with just fight. I think it's a wonderful dream, a wonderful example of how information comes through in dreams. And as far as and handling it, this is sacred, and it's in Texas. And, you know, Texas is really in need of more of the sacred at this time in our culture, in some ways, for some people, certainly politically, and just spite. So spite, it's like, in spite of this, you know, I'm going to do that, right? Or in spite of anger that I might have towards the, you know, as a woman, you know, I can hop right into the women's rights issue there. In spite of that, I want love to unfold in Texas. I want to see change. I still love people that I know who are from Texas. I have family members who live in Texas in waking life. So in spite of not agreeing with a lot of what's going on there, I feel that there is a possibility for magic, and that there is magic there, but it has to be uncovered. Just like this document, it has to be found. It has to be, you know, unpacked and allowed to unfold, to form. You know, I think of, like, politically, I think of Beto O'Rourke, you know, and how he's, to me, a beacon of, you know, that not all of Texas is as conservative, you know, as it appears in this politics, you know. So, yeah, just fight. To me, it seems like an opening, and that if I find this document, I think there's really going to be something in there for me that somehow relates to this. I don't know what it is. Yes.
The our confusion over despite, which you turned into in spite of, which is a valid way of saying it, actually. It's despite as in spite of. It gave a statement. I mean, I've got the shape. I don't have the words yet, but what you just said, thank you, it gives me a shape. It's like I accomplished something despite something else. I accomplished something in spite of this, in spite of all that was holding me back, in spite of all the disappointment, in spite of all the politics, in spite of all the dissipation. I think that's the shape of the statement. I think the first part of it announces that something has been done or can be done in spite of something else. So thank you for the shape of it. Beto O'Rourke, well, O'Rourke's got an Irish last name, right? and by the way, the lecture, Baylor University is in Waco, Texas, which has a pretty mixed record. So, you know, and in my dream, it's not far from Dallas. Well, it's actually 93 miles from Dallas, but Dallas was mentioned in the dream trip. All right, we're talking with Jane Carlton, jewelry appraiser and gemologist, a gem of a dream teacher and dream coach. We'll be back for more. We'll get her contact information after the break. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest, and the energy is crackling today, is Jane Carlton, dream teacher and gemologist, and what a gem of a dreamer. Jane, people will want to get in touch with you, and I think they have a sense for just what a good coach for dreaming and a soul-filled life you might be. How do people contact you?
Well, I think my best is my website, and it's Jane at yourdreamingself.com.
Jane at yourdreamingself.com. All right.
Yes.
Try something on you that I've been trying on other people recently. You and I have both been asked countless times, how do I remember my dreams, by people who might accept that they dream, but they're not getting anything because they just don't remember. It's probably the most common question about dreaming, apart from what's going on with grandma, my deceased grandma, who showed up last night. I mean, the other most common question about dreams is, I dreamed of a departed loved one or friend. What's going on? Is this for real? We've already entered that territory in our first segment. So the other day when I was asked by somebody, how can I remember my dreams? I said, let's turn the question around. Let's play with this. How do I persuade my dreams to remember me? I mean, just think about it. I'll say it again. How do I persuade my dreams to remember me? I mean, the question assumes that dreams have their own life. We know that characters in dreams have their own life. We know that sometimes we're in another world where people are very much alive, as you were with your mother in her version of the afterlife, very much alive, real place, somewhere else. How do we persuade our dream producers, if there are people who make dreams like movies for us, the dreams themselves, if they're alive and animate, as sometimes they seem to be, our dream characters, how do we persuade them to remember us? By which I mean, why should they bother with us if we're not doing anything, you know, that they find interesting or engaging? We don't take action with our dreams, for example. It might be that our dreams go away because, you're not paying attention. You're not following the guy, or else it might come back and knock on our door more harshly or throw a brick through the window trying to get our attention. But you're not doing anything with us. I mean, you're a creative person, halfway creative person. Well, what have you done? What have you written? What have you drawn? What have you collaged? In what way have you brought something creative into your life or the life of another person? And the answer to the question begins, as you and I both understand well, the question, how do I get my dreams to remember me? It begins with adopting a fun, fast method for sharing dreams and turning them to stories so you can chat to other people about them on the phone, on Zoom, across the breakfast table, in the coffee shop, whatever. And we have that. We have our lightning dream work technique. And frankly, after 25 years, when I first invented it and made it public, I still think it is by far the best method for sharing dreams or personal stories available anywhere. I mean, I simply think so. That's what it is. And once you've learned that, and we try to teach more people to learn it and do it in a fast, fun way, you've got a reason for your dreams to remember you, because you're having fun, and they presumably are having fun with you via this method of sharing dreams. So what do you think about that? Turning the question upside down and saying, how can I help dreams remember me?
I like it. I felt a sparkle when you were telling me that. You know, it's funny, when I was thinking about what to talk about today, I was thinking about that very topic of how to help people remember their dreams. And I have had very challenging time remembering my dreams lately, so it's very pertinent to me. And I think that I like turning that question upside down, because the techniques of, you know, being prepared and asking for a dream, that's helpful. But sometimes what I find is when I'm outside of my everyday life, my life that tends to be more mundane, more work-oriented, more routine, and less inspired, I would say, I have a very hard time remembering my dreams. And I also, the ones I do remember, just rehashing, you know, the day, you know, not always, of course. And I find that incredibly frustrating. And especially I teach about dreams. So where are my magic dreams? And yet the magic dreams appear when I least expect it, and always appear when I'm traveling and when I've left my everyday routine. So I think that question of turning it upside down is, what am I doing with my dreams? What am I doing to encourage my dreams to want to remember me? I think is creating some magic, some activity, some getting up in the morning and writing, you know, finding that magic in everyday moments in life, you know, stopping and looking at that flower for a moment, and doing the dreamlike experiences in waking life to start bringing it back and to create a dialogue with the dreaming parts of ourselves, with that magic world that exists beyond our everyday consensual reality. So it's a very pertinent question for me, and I'm feeling inspired to turn it upside down, you know, just, okay, I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to do more of this. Maybe I'll get my beads out because the beads are meditation for me. Like, I like to make beaded jewelry, you know. So working with the stones, talking to the stones as I work with them, you know, something that brings me in my everyday life back into that magic world.
Ah, the beads. Now, I'll save this for the next segment so we can do it without having to break it halfway through, but I was just looking at the dream. It's from recently. It's from October 21st is when I wrote it down, which is, what, just under 10 days ago. But it starts with looking at beads in a quirky store. So this is for you. I was looking for the right dream to share with you to introduce another general theme, which is one I think you'll recognize. You know, we do have dreams that we remember fairly vividly, but which remain mysterious. I mean, however much work you do with them, however much you think about them, you can't really sort of crack the code of this dream. It might have its own magic. It might be something that, you know, if you're artistic, you could paint or make a design from, but it remains mysterious. Jung talked about this in his own life. He said he often remembers dreams in vivid detail, but has no idea what's going on. And he said at one point, basically, the thing to do is just walk with it, circumambulate, walk around with it, let it stay with you for a while, see if something turns up. I call this circumambulation, just walking round and round the thing. Of course, how much you'll be concerned about the fact you have no idea that's going on, you know, will probably relate to your feelings, and your emotions will tell you whether this deserves any real time or not. But sometimes the dream, as in my dream, it starts with the beads, and that's why I know it's for you, Jane, because of synchronicity. Just looking for the report, because although it's 9 days ago, I've been thinking and doing a lot, and I wanted to make sure I had the details clear. You mentioned the beads and working with your beads. So you're absolutely the person for whom this dream is now destined. But I'm trying to prevent myself starting now because I want to want to do it all in one segment. So let me just float a little bit more clearly. Dreams that it remain absolutely mysterious to us. We cannot figure out what's going on or why we have the dream. It might not even feel like our own dream. Do you have dream experiences like that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I have a short dream that is a bit mysterious. If we have time, I'd love to share with you also. So,
well, let's have that, and let's do that after the break. We're talking to Jane Carlton, wonderful dream teacher, dream coach, jewelry appraiser too. If you have anything in that line you'd like to think about, and you can find her at jane@yourdreamingself.com. We'll be back on Way of the Dreamer after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com. Get your personal dream symbols and discover the ones you dream about in Linda McKenzie's Symbols of You, a new book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, and more.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We just had an example of synchronicity. I was looking for a dream report so I'd have the details absolutely clear, even though the dream's from October 21st, which is not long ago. And it starts with looking at some beads in a strange store. And Jane, my guest, starts talking about looking at beads and how she uses beads in meditation. So I know this dream is for Jane, and I gave it a title. I'm going to actually read my report, because I've been doing quite a bit since I wrote this down, and I want the details straight. So here we go. The title is The Lady Vanishes from the Float Tank. Float tank, as in those flotation tanks where people used to go. They probably still do for experiences in altered consciousness and so on. That's what it looks like. So the lady vanishes from the float tank. In a quirky bookshop cum curio store in a village, I'm at a woman companion who seems to be my wife, but is not my actual wife. She's a waifish white 20-something. She's very nice, but she's definitely not my wife except in the dream. A long-haired kid with a straggly beard is tending the store, filling in for the regular staff. We find some tiny beads and jewels we love. Here you go, Jane. Tiny beads and jewels in a big jar. There are only about a dozen left. I take all of them in my hands to the kid at the counter, and I ask him if he has a little jewelry box to put them in. He does. I place the beads and jewels in the box, and I tell him, we'll go on looking if the store is staying open. It's getting on for 9 at night. He's happy to keep the store open. He doesn't think they have any more beads. I ask whether they work with theatrical costumers. His interest perks up when I say I'm thinking of putting on a performance with a Persian theme. I add that I have good connections in the area. I used to live there in one of the big houses, I tell him in the dream. I go to check on my wife, and I find she's inside a glass container, one of half a dozen lying on the floor in a back room. They're the size of coffins, or old-fashioned telephone booths, maybe, and filled with water. I guess they're mostly like immersion or flotation tanks, but they're lying on the ground. The fact that she is in one seems okay to me. I know this is something she wanted to do. The water in her tank is bubbling away. It seems to me she's been in for rather a long time. I call to her, I yell at her, but she can't hear me through the glass. I try to open the lid of the glass container. There's something like a huge screw thing you could turn. It doesn't work. I get alarmed. I yell to the kid to call 911. He doesn't seem to respond. When I try my phone, seems I'm on a party line with half the village. They're gossiping, especially about me and my companion. I can't seem to get through to 911. This no longer seems urgent or important because I notice now that all the glass coffins or float tanks are open and empty of water, including the one that held my wife. There's no trace of her. She's simply gone. Okay, there's your report, Jane.
Wow.
See, I'm laughing. I mean, this already introduces my feelings, so you can ask me about that.
So, yes, how did you feel when you woke up?
Completely calm. I mean, amazed, mystified, but cheerful rather than otherwise. Completely calm. My learned comment is WTF, you know. I have no idea. I have no idea then or now, really, what's going on here. So you'll have to tell me.
Oh, dear. Okay. Okay. And could any part of this dream take place in waking reality?
Well, I could certainly be in a store like that. I mean, I'd have women friends and have had women friends who might resemble this girl. I don't know her in ordinary life. Funnily enough, the area resembles a rural part of upstate New York where I used to live. I used to own a farm. And in a slightly scruffier part of the area, it was a bit like this. There were villages and sort of odd stores like this. So it does remind me of a period of my life in the late 1980s when I just moved to upstate New York and would ramble around these little villages. That reminds me. I mean, I quite like jewels and beads. I don't know them the way that you do, and they're not part of my regular meditation. The glass tank, it reminds me of a sci-fi series that I loved called Fringe, in which the Australian actress, who was the first one to really enter a parallel world and find out that there's a clash between parallel worlds going on, he first gets there in a float tank, in one of those tanks where you're totally immersed in water and consciousness stretches and changes. So they remind me of that. They also, there's no sense of death in a sinister way, but they also are reminiscent of coffins.
Yes, and thank you for giving your associations. Excellent. What would you most like to know about this dream?
Well, I think I want the dream to tell me why it came to me. I think I want to ask the dream, why me? Because I can give those associations, but I don't know why this dream has come to me. It's thoroughly mysterious. I mean, any associations I make don't feel important, yet the dream has a quality of fascination for me. I mean, it's interesting in its own right. I mean, it's a bit like watching an episode of a TV series that you enjoy and you're actually placed in the middle of it. So maybe it's entertainment for its own sake. I don't know. I don't think the dreams have to be utilitarian. I don't think they have to be serving some purpose. They have their own life. But so my question is the standard question people have. Why me? Why this dream?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do have some associations with your dream. Surprise,
please.
Surprise. So, yeah, if it were my dream, okay. I'm going to, you know, of course, the beads are precious, right? They're being put in a jewelry box, and there's just a few of them in the jar. And so
the beads and the jewels are beautiful, and they're all quite small. And they're all rounded, the beads are rounded. The jewels may have facets, but they're small.
You know, it's funny, Robert. I remember, you know, a few years ago you had a dream that we shared with each other privately, and it was really a dream that was for me. It was shortly after my mother passed, and it was something that gave me a lot of gifts in your dream. And I feel like there's something, there's a little bit of similarity here for me in this dream. So I'm just going to project all over it as though it were my dream, like we do.
Go ahead.
And, to me, the beads that I work with, they're gemstone beads, and gemstone beads are expensive. So the ones that I have are tiny. I'm a big fan of tiny gemstone hippie beads, like long strands of hippie beads, but they're made with real gems and they're really beautiful. So it reminds me of the kinds of beads that I actually work with and string, and I have them in containers, and there are a lot of them that have been waiting for a long time for me to find the time to work with. I was recently last weekend at a very bawdy burlesque theatrical performance that had a little bit of a slightly Persian theme in the background of it.
Huh.
I'm getting that, and then now there's a real big hit on the glass, the my wife in the dream in the glass container. And maybe I'll get more into that after the break because it's a little bit long.
Yeah, let's end on the cliffhanger. This is very exciting. And then you can tell me what the dream means, if it really is your dream, if I brought through the dream to you. That'll be fun. All right, we're talking to the wonderful Jane Carlton. This is Where the Dream with Robert Moss. We'll be back to follow on from that cliffhanger after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You're back with Where the Dream with Robert Moss, and Jane Carlton, if you remember, was just about to tell us her association with the glass coffins or float tanks in my dream.
Thank you. Yes, I'm so excited. I'm jumping right in. Okay. the woman companion is 20-something. It reminds me, I'm really taking this as my life and my dream, reminds me of myself in my 20s when I was having challenging times in my life. And basically becoming a gemologist is what I feel basically turned my life completely around from a very traumatic time. So gemstones and beads have literally in my world in some way saved my life. I also had a dream once many years ago that was a very big dream for me. And in the dream, I'm sleeping on a bed, and the box spring of the bed, and there's rows of these beds, and there's rows of women sleeping on top of these beds. But the box spring part were these glass containers filled with water. And in my dream, I look at the water underneath the bed, and I was in a big healing time in my life at that time. And it was very murky water, and I saw myself at the age of about 16, 17 in that water underneath my bed. And in the dream, I took a hammer and I smashed it open and let her out. I rescued her from the trap that she was in of pain and suffering from my past. In this dream, it just reminds me that we've got several of these containers. My wife, who's in her 20s, is in there. And so it's not just one. And to me, the theme also is of the, some of the challenges that women in particular go through as far as safety goes, physically. You know, this, I love this ending, and the fact that at the end of the dream you don't have any strong feelings of aversion or anything. It's more like liberation, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help her. I can't really help her, but eventually that trap that she's in, if it's like my dream, it gets broken open, and she's liberated,
it's even gentler than that. I mean, everything you're saying feels absolutely right, but it's not, doesn't have to be broken open. The lids have been removed. Nothing smashed.
Yes.
There's no damage.
So,
it's been done gently.
So I love that, because then it's like it doesn't have to be a painful act to liberate whatever it is that the purpose is of being in that water. And of course, water, deep emotions, you know, deep self, deep memories, and that they can be healed, transformed, released in a gentle way by opening the lid gently and letting it dissipate, letting it go.
That's so cool, Janie. And I didn't know you in your 20s, of course, but you could be just slightly waif-like, very pretty, dark-haired, 20-something, slim, skinny girl. It could be you.
Yeah, I was definitely waif-like. back in those days.
Certainly there are points of resonance there. So hopefully by sharing the dream with you, I've contributed to the affirmation and celebration of what you've been able to survive and how you've been able to flourish despite all that, right? There's that word again, despite. Despite all that stuff, you've come shining through. And I hope that the dream helps to celebrate that. You said you had a little story about a mysterious dream. If you could tell it really briefly, we could try and slip it in right now.
And the good news is it's a really short snippet. So I'm hiking. Thank you. I'm hiking with a woman and a child in the area in California where I like to go hiking. I've been to this place before. And I look up the trail and I see a family of three, husband, wife, and young child. And they are surrounded by three mountain lions that are checking them out. And the three mountain lions are a male, a female, and an adolescent. And I wonder what to do, whether they're in danger, and if I can help them. So it's three groups of three, me with the woman and the child, the family, husband, wife, and their child, and then the three, the set of the mountain lions. And that's it. I wake up intrigued, like, what? And I will share that I had been sharing the night before I had, the evening before I had that dream, I was sharing a story with a group of people about hiking in the open space near here and coming upon a mountain lion, an actual mountain lion.
Yes, I remember you talking about that. Well, if it's my dream, I'd think, well, I have allies and resources available to help other people. I mean, I have a big cat family, and it might be a threesome of humans like the threesome in the dream, but I have these allies available, and of course, California is mountain lion territory. We've had mountain lion experiences at Essel, and the mountain lion became a very important spiritual ally in transition for me at Essel. And I also think that this week I heard from a woman who's facing a major health challenge, and she says what's getting her through is the fact that Puma, which is the Andean version of the mountain lion, that Puma has become her ally and is helping her face her cancer. So the dream, although mysterious in terms of immediate application, is not mysterious to me in terms of the basic power that it offers. It does more than represent the power. It offers the power of the Ayarun, I'm going Iroquoian for a moment, of the real animal guardian. And here's a threesome. Here's a male and female, both genders, young and old. They're available to me, and they might be my personal allies in certain situations. But what is very, very important for me to know, if it's my dream, is that I have allies of this kind available to transfer to, gift to, offer to other people in need of help and healing. That's a really wonderful thing to recognize.
I love it. Yes, I feel it.
So every time you walk that trail, as you probably still do, I remember getting exhausted myself last time you took me on a hike around there, but it's a beautiful trail. Every time you walk that trail, you are communing with the mountain lion, aren't you? Because that is mountain lion country.
I am. And it has transformed that trail that I've been walking at least 30 years from just bopping along, feeling completely,
I should have brought Puma with me. When I was in the Andes, when I was at Machu Picchu and so on, years and years ago, Puma came to me in the night, properly introduced by another big cat I knew better, and said, let me come into your body and adjust your systems. Because, big cats aren't supposed to operate at this height, and you've just landed. So I felt, and I wrote about this, and drew Puma inside my physical body, adjusting my system so that although I'm not athletic at all, I had no difficulty with the heights or the hiking or any of that when I was in the Andes. So if I'm ever on that trail again, I think I'll have to ask, that version of the mountain lion to help me out. We're having really almost too much of a good time in the sense we've run out of it, painlessly, joyously. Having fun with Jane Carlton, I think we're just going to call this episode The Joy of Active Dreaming, and I think you feel the joy. This is so much fun. It can really give some juice to your day. We'll be back after the break, really, to say dream on and thank you. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Well, Janie, what a delight to be with you, as our friend Veronique would say, bisou, bisou, kiss, kiss, big hugs. Thank you for all the joy and light you bring to our dreaming.
Oh, thank you, Robert. It's been lovely to be with you.
And to Janie, and to our wonderful producer, Jay, and to all the dreamers who are listening in, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.